D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say that the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Oh, I'm looking over here, the camera's over here.
Wait for it. Places, everyone, places.
All right.
B-S and B-Boys. I love this podcast.
There it is. Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. With me, as usual, Heath Elson-San, apparently dragon or something. Tomas Mauricio to my left in the booth. Tyler Kistner. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know about. So from Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're going to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, what an exciting, heart-pounding, incredible 43-37 victory over the Atlanta Falcons, the hated Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
Man, I mean, my heart still, I'm still having palpitations every once in a while.
Yeah. It's aftershocks.
The aftershocks?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was only exciting and all of that because we won, right? Had he gone the other way.
Oh, yeah, we'd have a lot more
complaining. To explain that. But, yeah, since we won, it was a thrilling
victory.
Thrilling victory, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, Tomas, I feel like someone pointed out to me on Twitter that you had a good week in Pick'em.
Did I?
Yes. You didn't check yet?
No.
No? Okay. Well, you might not want to check that. But you had a good week. Apparently, you did better than me. I'm doing pretty good, but I think I may have dropped down. Now, look, we got 100 people in this thing.
Yeah.
You know, so to be in like 18.
I need you to queue up Free Falling from Tom Petty.
Tom Petty.
Yeah.
What'd you do this week?
I think I got 7.
You got 7?
I'm going down every week.
Man, I ended with 8, but I had a chance for 9. But, hey, man, the Bucks came out and did me a favor. I lost the point, but the Bucks come out on Monday night and – they look beatable now. I mean, for the first 2 weeks,
Well, they only look beatable because Pittsburgh blitz on every single down.
If that's what it was.
That's what it took. That means that then they had defensive backs.
Right.
Or they need say no more.
They can cover.
I'll talk about it during this show.
Okay.
What's that?
What? No, I was going to say it means they had a defensive coordinator that realized that's what needed to
be
done.
I'm going
to
talk about that during the show, too. All right. Yeah,
all right. Well, hey, don't forget, man, we have the good, the bad, the ugly. We also,
I'm going to talk about that during the show, too.
I know, and I can only imagine. I might as well just say it now. I bet we have a Tomas rant this week.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. All right. John Hendricks is going to come in and visit us like he does every week. Then we're going to do an NFC South report. We already talked a little bit about the Bucks, but we can go a little bit more
in depth.
As
long as you remember what the standing is for the Atlanta Falcons.
The Falcons? No? Yep. Good? Bad? What? What? Yeah.
I believe they're cellar dwellers.
Last place.
Yep.
All
alone.
Record-wise, not standing-wise, we have a 3-way tie for first place in the NFC South.
Well, but not really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not standing-wise, but record-wise.
Yeah, we're actually second.
We have 3 teams that are 2-1.
Right.
We're in second place?
Correct.
Okay. So because
Tampa
of obviously,
beat us.
Yeah, obviously our loss to Tampa Bay. We're going to do an NFC South report. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Then we have, at the end of the show, the MyBookies. That's whenever I pay your bills for you. MyBookie.com. Check it out. Go see these guys. Use promo code BSNBeer, and those guys will take care of you. So I tell you what you got anything funny to say? Any jokes? Let's. You ready to get this
Atlanta
show started?
Falcons. Okay.
That'll do it.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. Mm. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, listen, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew, 43-37. New Orleans goes into Atlanta and comes out with a huge victory. Now, we have tons of stuff to talk about, some good stuff. Obviously, you leave with a good taste in your mouth. But the negative, lots of bad stuff to talk about, some same problems reoccurring that just, I don't know if they can't be fixed. It's a little perplexing because it's stuff that seemed to be fine last year, and all of a sudden, it's not so good this year. But before we get to that.
There's a reason for it, but go ahead.
Tomas?
Yes, sir?
Let's do the picks from last week. Tell us like the top 10 guys.
All right, here's
from
what
the
I have in front of me. I don't know if it actually is caught up or not, but let's go with it. Rob. 2-2-2-2-7-8.
Like we hear them every week.
Yeah. St. Craft Toots. Those gentlemen are tied for first. Little Dice. Lord Boudreaux. Tied for second with 11. Javelin. Speed Bump McGee. 12. No, sorry, that's it. Right? Hold on. Yeah, no, right. Speed Bump McGee. 12.5 PSI. Bill Gluckman, I almost lost my place there. St. Benis. My gosh, this guy. Buddy, I don't know. Guachatalamalayas picks. Dubbit. Brewjammer. Cable Tonka. They're all tied. And then.
Oh, Craig.
Cincy Saint. Carolina Saints fan. Billy the Goat. Who Dat Agent. JD265. Insert clever name here. Dave BS and Beer.
Hey, that's me. So I was in the top 10.
Rogaroo.
You're still doing the top 10?
These people all tied.
Well, we need to thin it out a little bit.
I skipped over my name quite a far wide back because it was red, but I just skipped over it.
Oh, okay. Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, all right.
Take one for the team. I like that.
Well, I'm in the top 10. You're not. Okay, so let's go on.
So is this thing already, it's already dropped 2 weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I'm only
happened.
Showing with
that's
9 points.
Okay.
This is what's going on. Those who don't realize that we dropped 2 weeks just so that if someone misses that they don't fall too far behind. So we're now 3 weeks into it, right?
Yeah.
It drops you two worse. So basically, right. whoever had the highest points. So there's going to be a lot of things that's going to start falling.
Right. So if you look it up, you'll see on here it says 12-4. 12 wins, 4 losses. That's only 16 games. That's 1 week of games. So just understand that. And it'll keep adjusting, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Your two lowest scores.
Your two worst ones will be at the end of the season. Your two worst weeks will be ejected.
It'll always be that way. And you know what's interesting is that my best week was the first week.
Right.
So I still have the same 9 points. But after the first week, I think that was good for 7th. And now it's good for 23rd.
Right, right.
So that just shows you how things are changing and that everybody else has elevated their game while I have.
The first week I had only 3 right.
Yeah.
And so I was down 90th.
But you know what? I deserve to get 7 this week because I gave up 17 points on the pick.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I know.
I use that mentality that, man, 17 points in the NFL, it's not just about how good the team is. It's about how the NFL plays. At the end of the day, you get that kind of lead, then they start coasting. They're going to run the clock out, and they're going to allow the other team to get a point. It's always going to be a little closer than the game actually was. So,
yeah. Well, they just flat out win.
Yeah, no.
In this case.
Buffalo, yeah. I mean, right now as teams are still trying to settle in, figure out who they are, what they are, find identity like the Saints. I keep expecting what happened last year to happen again, and I don't really understand – why it's not happening.
Because I think that they put them into the witness protection plan.
You know what? That could be it. But, you know, I think we really need to talk about this when we come back from break.
I have it.
But we need to talk about this some more because guys who were playing well last year that gave us the entire offseason a peace of mind, thinking it's going to happen, all of a sudden.
Well, I got a topic for us, something you and I talked about while we were watching the game. So.
Hey, listen, we want you guys. We have 4 hotline calls today. We want you to be part of the show.
Wow.
701-901-1295.
That's that hotline.
Call that hotline. Get in here. Let us know what you think. And we can get to a lot of the callers who
don't
already
even
called
have to wait to the end of the game.
No.
Anytime during the game, you can
call. Send an email.
Send an email. Yeah, bsandbeer@icloud.com. Yeah, like that. Throw that in there, man. Yeah. Look at him go. All right. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. We can get this train rolling.
Choo-choo. You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, fellas, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget, you play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Hey, listen, Saints, they win. 43-37, beat our rivals Atlanta. Man, just for that. I mean, listen, we're going to get into the good and the bad and ugly. I think there's so many things that we could talk about that need to be fixed, need to be corrected. But, I mean, listen, however you get it done, you go into a division rival, you go on their home turf, and you come away with a win. I just don't see how... That's a bad thing, and I get that we're not living up to certain expectations that we set. I think this is a young team that's going to keep improving, but I will say, at the end of the day, we went into a rival and a good team. Atlanta is a good team. Now, they're besieged with injuries right now, but, hey, you got to take care of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember saying before the season, you know, man, can we finally get an opportunity for the Saints to be healthy for a change and have these other teams have some injury
problems. Struggle through,
you know,
injuries.
What I mean? Yeah, have to go through that kind of stuff. And, you know, so far that had been happening. Unfortunately, you know, news, got some news today.
News breaks on Tuesday that P-Rob is now on injured reserve. It's a broken ankle. There was some speculation it would just be a high ankle sprain. I was really encouraged.
That's when Ostner diagnosed it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then they got a second opinion.
And they went
today
to the clinic and found out.
Yeah, and now he's got 7 plates and 14 pins in it.
Yeah, something like that. Unconfirmed. That's unconfirmed. But P-Rob, that's a pretty big loss, especially with some of the issues we're having in the defensive backfield right now.
Right. Yeah. Well, and, you know, of course, we cut our fifth and sixth round draft choice.
Yeah.
They've been picked up, so we have nothing there. Mallett just got picked up by the Colts.
Yeah.
So we got nothing there. Yeah. So my understanding is that West Bank is still available. I don't know. Maybe those people are thinking about that.
People have actually brought that up as a serious
The guy that I keep hearing is Sterling Moore.
Yeah,
but he actually had an interview yesterday, Monday.
The Bears,
The Bears. Yeah. Now I don't know if he's made it to the Saints or not, but he's supposedly on the list.
Well, here's
unless
the
Bears sound.
I think he was supposed to be here today. He was supposed to be in New Orleans today, I believe.
Yeah. Sean Payton made the point, and I couldn't agree with him more. Is that any help is not going to come off the
from
street?
Outside.
It's not going to come from outside. And
right.
And the people, the tweets and the things that I read on the bulletin boards, Sterling Moore, and I think people think that, well, he's going to help the team. And quite frankly, there's a reason why he's unsigned. Guys are not unsigned at this point of the season that can still be – they're out there for a reason. They're backups. They're guys who can come in when somebody gets injured. Now, I will say this. You talked about – Tomas, you talked about the young guys, the draft picks. There are times when a team will cut the veteran who is better than the draft pick, but they're developing the young player. So there are times when you can say, man, a guy got hurt and we can get somebody off the street who's actually better than somebody who made the team. But it's not because it's more about potential than it was that, oh, this guy's better. So right now, the answer, the biggest problem the Saints, and I guess we're just going to jump into this conversation since I guess I'm starting it here, is cornerback opposite of Lattimore is struggling. We started off with P-Rob. All right, we started with PB and J.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get the job done.
No, we started with Crawley, and they sat him down.
Well, no,
and
I'm talking
PJ
about
came in.
No, I'm talking about this game. Game 3. PJ
Williams
started. Tomas is saying that started the season.
Yeah.
Right. So Crawley starts the season. Crawley is the guy who didn't start last year and came in
Game three,
and played really well. Never lost a job.
Right.
Now all of a sudden,
there's a reason for that.
Now all of a sudden, you have a guy and he's struggling, and that you just wonder why all of a sudden are guys who were productive players struggling?
All of them. Yeah, and just, that's the problem. Well, it's not just answer. Crawley. It's all of them.
Talk, when y'all ready to hear the answer, I'll be happy to give you the answer.
All right. Well, okay, let me get some more thoughts out
Go
here.
Ahead. Go ahead.
So you have a safety in Williams who was touted as the next coming, the great safety. Now, I'm not trying to say he's not, but what I'm saying is I can't help it. I've watched three games now.
Yeah.
I've watched all 22, and I'm coming away thinking that the Saints might feel like they in a position where they can start being maybe more complicated, do things differently than they did last year, change it up. And again, I'm not in the film room. I'm not there talking to the coaches. I don't know what they're doing, so I'm hesitant to criticize them. But I can't help but feel that the Saints are doing something differently than they did last year. And I'll just say this. Here's my biggest issue. We have two cornerbacks in P.J. Williams and Ken Crawley who are not speed guys. They're more of your power guys. They're guys who will put their hand in your chest, check you, you know, throw your route off at the line of scrimmage. And if you put a fast receiver on either one of these guys and give them 75 yards to work with no safety help over the top, they will lose.
Yeah.
And if the quarterback gets the ball to him accurately, they're done.
Yeah.
You cannot put a guy who's 4'3 next to a guy who is 4'5 and get in a foot race for 75 yards. It's one thing if it's a route and the guy's savvy, he can break on the ball, he might be quick.
Right.
But you got two guys that they ran a 40. You put them next to each other, the receiver will win that runs 4'3 when he's going against a guy 4'5 over the course of 40
yards. Yeah, well, we got Crawley and you know, they started off 10 yards off the ball damn near.
Right.
Okay? And then all you got to do is throw in a double move and get, you know, so he's got some head start, right? Start backpedaling and try to keep up with this faster guy. But then you throw in a little double move, and he comes up and bites on that, and then the receiver goes wide open. He's not going to catch that guy. My biggest issue is where is the safety?
Right.
We saw this week when I don't remember whether it was Crawley in the game at that point or whether it was – no, I think it was P.J. Williams.
They were both in the game at that point.
And he went deep, and the next person you saw come into the screen down the field was Lattimore, the corner from the other side of the field. There wasn't a safety anywhere in the picture.
Right.
Okay, and so just to touch on what you're talking, I see Tomas over there. He's ready to explode.
No, I'm calm. I'm waiting for you guys to put all this stuff out there.
Yeah, and I mean, I already know what you're going to say, you know, but anyway, so yeah, go ahead. Well, Tomas, I agree with you before you even say it.
Take the floor.
There are two things, my brothers, that we have to consider when we look at this. Now, one I have to save because one of them is part of my rant. So I can't give that one away yet.
All right, yeah.
All right? But I'll give you the other one because we were sitting next to each other, as we usually do, and it was kind of funny because Dave and I, you know, we get very excited as we're watching the game, and we say things. Well, there happened to be a young lady between the two of us, and she's not familiar with what we do. And so Dave and I were kind of getting on. You know,
bickering at each other, yeah.
And she was like, whoa, dude. Y'all fight like this all the time? And we started laughing. We're like, that is how we always behave. You know, yeah. I mean, we do these kind of things, and afterwards we hug each other and go, hey, it's all good, you know?
Yeah,
all right, because that's what friends do. But that discussion is what I want to talk about at this point. Now, for those who don't know, at one point in my life, I don't believe it or not, I used to be a concert pianist. That's right. You know, I used to go out there, make money playing the piano in front of thousands of people. So when I first started in that career, going that way, as a youngster, high school boy, I had an incredibly tough teacher who said, we are going to fix your technique. That's what he said to me. I said, okay, prof, whatever you say. All right. So this man with a drumstick in one hand and his open hand on the other side corrected my technique by beating me. Okay. But that's old school. Now, the point is this. During the time that my mentor was fixing my technique, changing the way I had done things to go a new way, I couldn't play worth 10 cents. I was always overthinking what I was doing because I'm trying to change my technique. Now, it had nothing to do with my natural ability because once we got past that, it was better. Now, while we're in the process of fixing the technique, I was playing. It wasn't very good. He knew it wasn't very good. I knew it wasn't very good. We're all upset about the whole thing. So what does he do?
He says, oh, by the way, you're in a competition next month. I'm like, what? I can't play a competition. So this is what he said to me. He said, forget about everything we've been talking about for the last 6 months. Just go and play. Now, I went in, and I played, and I didn't win because I couldn't. I couldn't get it all out of my head. I tried. I tried like hell to say, hey, I'm going to forget about the 6 months he's been beating me and torturing me, you know, and try to do what I naturally do. Couldn't do it. Now, I bring this example up because this is exactly where our defensive backfield is. If you listen to Lattimore during the offseason, during the OTAs, all these times, he kept saying the same thing. No worries, I've been working on technique. I might look a little bigger, I might look a little slower, but it's because I've really been zeroing in on technique. Okay, what exactly is that technique, might I ask? Because if it's a technique, let me put it to you this way. If my good friend Dave here, who's a good musician, don't get me wrong, but if Dave came to my studio and said, Tomas, don't worry, for the next 3 months, I'm going to teach your students technique. Well, here's what would happen. Tomas would come back 3 months later yanking his freaking hair out because Dave has no clue what piano technique is. Even though he's a good musician, even though he understands music, it's not the same thing. So if I have the defensive coach trying to teach me a technique instead of the defensive backfield coordinator, might be a problem. Technique is, I think, one of the fundamental issues that this defensive backfield is facing right now. Their head, just like a rookie, they're swimming because the technique that they're giving them is not natural to them. And so they're overthinking it. So to me, I believe that is one of the problems, why you see what you see on the field. Now, scheme, let's hold off on that because that's part of my rant.
Well, I'm just going to interject here. One of the things, I don't disagree with you, and I think this is part of the sophomore slump thing. And people look at it, they don't just forget how to play for a year or whatever. What happens in the natural progression of getting better, you take raw talent and then you teach them new ways to do things more efficiently. And that one little half step, that one, you know, your hips turning at a certain time, that back foot being stepping this way instead of stepping that way. And I agree with you. I think that they get to the point where they, okay, right foot here, left foot there, like Lattimore. And then all of a sudden, you're not covering as well. But if you continue to hone that skill, if you improve it to the point where you take it to the next level, then that's when you see those guys taking that next step all the way to being an all-pro or whatever.
Yes, but did you hear what I said to you? When my professor said to me, you're going to be in a competition, forget about all that stuff, I couldn't.
No,
now, a year later, oh, yeah, a year starts, later I was kicking butt
it becomes
because my
second
technique changed.
It becomes second nature.
That's correct.
And I think that, I don't know if you misunderstood something I'm saying. I think we're on the exact same page. I think that these players are out there trying to improve their second year. They're going out there. They're learning this technique. They're trying to do it. But I completely agree with you. Out there doing stuff, it don't feel natural. But those are the ways that you get to the next level. Having
right.
said that, it seems like those same techniques may have caused the Saints defensive backs to regress a bit. And maybe not so much Lattimore, or maybe he was trying to do it and after the first game of the season was like, throw that out the window. I'm going back to just playing.
No, he's not. You can see on the film, if you watch him play, he's overthinking everything. I'll go back to one of your examples. If Lattimore is 4-3 and he's covering a receiver who's 4-3, but he's thinking, he suddenly becomes 4-4.
Right, right. 4-5.
Okay, or 4-6 or seven, whatever
yeah,
it happens to
exactly.
be. Because now he's overthinking what he has to do to the point that, and we hear this all the time, when a rookie comes in, what do they say? We got a defensive lineman. He's kind of raw. Okay, what's wrong with his being raw? Well, you know what? He's overthinking. I mean, how many times have you heard this? You know, you got to wait until he's not. Rankins, perfect example, right? How many times do we hear that about Rankins? Man, this guy was everything in Louisville. We drafted him number one. How come he's not doing anything? Because he's overthinking. So when you don't do that anymore, when you just, you accept, and again, just speaking from my own personal experience, when you accept everything that's been presented to you and you say, that's just the way that it is and go forward, now you're not thinking about it. You're trusting that your brain has the information and that your mind is going to use that information to be acceptable. Well, okay. Now, in the meantime, like you said, then be happy that we're going to be having to score 40 freaking points all season long to win because our defensive backfield is not going to come up. This is what it's going to be.
Well, okay.
And then there's more to it, but the rant will pick up the rest.
Maybe I'm not willing to accept all of that yet. I'm still going to look at you and say, Atlanta.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, I'm just saying, Atlanta's still a very good offense. Look, Ridley, their first-round draft pick from Alabama, 7 receptions, 146 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 70. I mean, that's a career, 75-yard long.
Hold on. What is Ridley? Is he a 4-3?
Oh, yeah.
No. Is he a 4-4? No.
Is
he a 4-5?
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, what was his claim to fame?
Are you sure about that? Because
yes, he's slow, comparatively speaking. What was his forte? And I'm sure that our good friend over there is going to be looking this
up. I can hear Tyler over there. He's like, we'll know in a minute how fast he ran.
Yeah.
Ridley at Alabama was known for precise route running. He was a technician in his route running, which is the same thing he's doing at Atlanta. So I'll go back to you. If any guy, PJ, peanut butter jelly, Crowley, Louisiana, yeah. And, Lattimore, if they're off 7 to 10 yards off the guy on the line of scrimmage, 5 and out. Dude, you're not gonna beat him because he's going to run an incredibly precise route. So you see those numbers there? Those numbers are because he ran precise routes.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I don't remember what he ran
in the 40.
And we're
off by 10 freaking yards off the line of scrimmage.
Hey, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Yeah, hey. We got John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. He was at the game. He's in the locker room. He's going to come visit with us. And when we get back, now we got to jump on this good, bad, and ugly.
All right.
Let's do it.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories. Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. With me, as usual, his spot, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, what a game. I was asking you off the air, is your blood pressure back down to normal yet?
Yeah, it is. It's just crazy. I mean, you know, I don't know. I grow tired of having these crazy heart palpitation type games between the Saints and LSU, man. It's just nerve-wracking. But look, they came out with a win. That's what matters. All is well today.
Well, okay. So the thing about it, the Saints go into it 1-1. We weren't playing extremely well. Defense was playing questionable. Now, here's the thing. I want to say the defense played better. I don't know if they played significantly better, but the reason I'm saying as they went up against an offense that no matter how you try to slice it, man, that's a very capable offense that Atlanta's going to put on the field.
Yeah, look, I thought the front seven did better overall, and we're talking better, not like great, not horrible, but, you know, decent to good, I'd say. I thought they had a lot more pressure. I thought AJ Klein had a fantastic game. I think, you know, linebacking core overall was good. The front four had some pressure, but at the same time, they had some moments where they just absolutely didn't finish and let Matt Ryan have 4 or 5 seconds to throw, so you can't have that. And look, I think the biggest aha and the biggest problem that we're facing right now is the secondary, because they tried P.J. Williams, didn't work. Tried Ken Crawley, didn't work. You lose Patrick Robinson, he's going to be out for several weeks at least as of right now. So, look, a lot of questions when it comes to the secondary.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder there. I was going to ask you, you know, the thing that seemed to be the biggest deficiency, our linebackers are playing pretty well. The defense, as you mentioned, playing solid football, not world beaters. But it seems to be that opposite cornerback from Lattimore. How do we go from the preseason where I felt like we had unbelievable depth, and when they drafted two young guys in the draft in 2018, I felt like, man, boy, where are they going to find a spot for these guys? So now they cut those guys, and you think we're still super deep, and now here we are 3 games into the season, and I think our biggest question mark is that defensive backfield, and specifically the cornerback opposite Lattimore.
Yeah, I thought Lattimore had a better game. I wouldn't say he's perfect, but it's more like himself. You didn't really hear him talk much during the podcast, which is always a good thing. But look, I feel like that's kind of where we're at. You know, the belief was, hey, the Saints, we bought into the hype, right? Saints believe in Ken Crawley. They may have tried to look at other cornerbacks, but they bring back Patrick Robinson to cover the slot, and suddenly you're feeling good because you're like, okay, well, Crawley's got a lot of good things Aaron Glenn has said, and that's kind of where we're at. And look, he just did not have first couple of games were horrible. Third game, I don't want to say rebound a little bit, but he had the bad penalty. Still kind of got lit up a little bit. But look, you go from having those three plus P.J. Williams, you figured has something. I thought Cameron Moore and Natrell Jamerson probably would have beat him out, even to look for Arthur Millette, but now he's gone to the Colts. And even Justin Hardy, some of these guys you'd think, and suddenly it just looks like a big weakness, like we're back in 2012.
Yeah, and that's the most discouraging thing because, quite frankly, you just didn't feel like there was a huge weakness there. Now, I never bought into the Ken Crawley was the answer. I thought he was a solid starting cornerback in the league, and I'm like, man, what a bargain. A guy who was undrafted develops into a starter, and he does a serviceable job. But I'm now and I will tell you, when they said they were going to P.J. Williams, I was kind of like, okay, it's time. Let's see it. And quite frankly, I don't think he even played as well as Ken Crawley. So we're now kind of back to square one. What direction do you think the Saints go?
Well, I know for a fact that, you know, the way that's been talking and that's out there, they're already looking at some in-house or working out some players. So Sterling Moore is a guy that they're going to be looking at again. I think they're going to have to go look and see what's available on the street, obviously. I don't know if you have it or maybe even look at somebody else on another practice squad. But look, the bottom line is maybe Crawley, guys, something in his head, something's going on. But look, I thought he did a good job last season. And look, I wouldn't expect him to come, and maybe his confidence is shot, you know, to everything right now. And look, you got a talented Giants team with Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard you have to worry about. I mean, one less thing is you don't have to worry about Evan Engram. But, you know, look, I still think the way it shapes out, Ken Crawley's got to have a heck of a rebound game here. And I don't know, P.J. Williams might be shown the door soon with the way he played.
Well, I quite frankly, man, after that performance, and I guess maybe it was like the hopefulness in me, and, you know, that Saints fan comes out, and you just like, man, if he could just finally put it together. Because, you know, and I'm talking about P.J. Williams, he spent the first 2 years on injured reserve. So you're thinking that at some point he played last year, he had his moments, and then you think, oh, well, he played a lot in the slot last year, and maybe that just wasn't a spot for him. You're making excuses after excuse after excuse, and then finally, after he gets in the game yesterday on Sunday, you just kind of get to the point where you say, well, maybe he's just simply not an NFL-level cornerback. But now let's switch gears to the offense. Now the offense, man, I tell you, explosive playmakers. Drew Brees looked amazing. There still feels, and before I get into all the positive, man, I want to get your thoughts on, man, it's just that thing that we had last year, the running game. Without Mark Ingram, it's just missing. And I don't know if that's not hurting the defense a little bit. So what are your thoughts on that, John?
Well, it's absolutely hurting the defense, because when you have a strong run game, I mean, you know as well as I do, and any casual football fan, you want to control the clock, control the time of possession. You want to be able to have long 9-10 minute drives if possible, some 10 to 12 play drives, if you will. And that's where Mark Ingram came in, is the fact that, you know, I think we've seen so much about the value of him, and it's not just as a runner, but he's so good in blitz pickups too. And look, I feel, you know, once he gets back the way he's been training and stuff, the run game and the issues will sort himself out. I know Mark Ingram is ready to be shot out of cannon right now, but it's a little bit concerning when you've got Alvin Kamara doing, what, 12 carries maybe, and then Jonathan Williams doesn't get much, Mike Gillisley doesn't get much, and then you got Ted Ginn and Taysom Hill that are getting the rushing yards on gadget plays. So that's a little bit concerning if you're a fan.
Yeah, if it's interesting. Now, it's exciting, though, because, okay, every week, here we go again, and it wasn't even on my list of things I wanted to talk to you about. But Taysom Hill, every week, it seems like his package is evolving and growing every week. Now, I don't like when you take a Hall of Fame quarterback that's playing extremely well and you take him out of the game. But I got to tell you, man, they run those Wildcat packages, and he comes in there and he makes plays, and it's hard not to see where the Saints won't continue to tinker with it. When I say the Saints, I'm talking about the mad scientist, Coach Sean Payton. He's in there. You know he's sitting there right now in his office just thinking of ways that he could somehow, how can I get Taysom Hill the ball and not take Drew Brees off of center out of, from under center. I think that we're going to start seeing a more diversified role for him, which may include a little wide receiver screen, a little, you know, maybe get I think, did he run a jet sweep on Sunday?
He did it out of the Wildcat. I mean, they could get a couple of different things that they did for him. He even lined up at tight end.
Yeah,
that's how much they used him.
So here you go. I mean, I think that the Saints are going to be looking for ways to get him on the field and not just in the Wildcat. I think that he has proven himself. Now, I'm not saying that 20 plays, but he has proven that they can get him in the game even if it's not under center.
Look, I have this vision, right, that if they get into a situation, and obviously we're a long way away from it, but if they get in a situation where it's the playoffs or late in the season, or even if it was, you know, what we all hope for, a Super Bowl, there's a play, Sean Payton, there's a play or two that Sean Payton has that has Taysom Hill involved that he would feel absolutely comfortable running, that some type of gadget play that would just work. Like, no matter what, it would just work. So, look, I think it's the concept and what Taysom Hill's been able to do so far is exciting. I mean, it's unheard of just to see a quarterback line up and do so many different things for you. Just the fact that special teams, using him as a blocker, using him as a decoy, using him as a runner. I mean, this guy is exciting to watch, and I made some jokes. This guy is like a combination between Randall Cunningham and Steve Young. Just the way he moves on the ground and the way he scampers, I mean, it's just fun to watch him.
Absolutely, and I think we will start to see more and more of Taysom Hill as time goes on. Now, one of the things, Drew Brees breaks the all-time completion record, and in the next 2 weeks, we're going to see him break the all-time passing yardage record. Now, I don't think he got a lot of accolades for just the completion record.
Well, look, I felt the same way, and, you know, Atlanta didn't acknowledge it either in their stadium. That's pretty crazy, and I think this is one of those records that just kind of crept up on people, you know. Just people didn't realize it, and we know Brees is in line for a bunch of records, but look, you know, it's something to play all those years, and Brett Favre's record, once he left in 2010, I mean, his record stayed for a long time, so... Brees doesn't get enough credit. I mean, the guy just hit some type of level yesterday. I mean, on Sunday, that was just 2011-esque, I guess you will. He took over the game. He was just efficient. He's the first quarterback so far to get over 1,000 yards this season, first quarterback to get over 100 completions. And it's not check down stuff. I mean, he's just throwing the ball and just looking like the fountain of youth, Drew Brees. So, look, I know when it comes, it's said and done, it's all said and done for him, first ballot Hall of Famer, his highlight tape is going to be unreal. It's going to be a hard thing to try to get his tape under 5 or 10 minutes to do him justice in what he's done in his career.
Absolutely. Hey, last question for you. The Saints, it's been a roller coaster ride. We're at 2-1, and we're going to the Giants. The Giants are a beatable team, but the Saints are too. Now, let's keep that in check. But what do you think about the Saints getting to 3-1 after 4 games? I think it's a good deal. 30 seconds.
Yeah, look, I think it's a huge deal. Look, I think a lot of – if they can get past the Giants, I think that hurdle set up the Monday Night Football game. They can go in there, look at 4-1, really try to get out of there and get to the bye week, recover in health. But look, I would expect them to handle the Giants just because of their defensive pressure and the way they handle against Eli Manning. So as long as they can take advantage and stay hot on offense, they should win the game.
John J. Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles. Get him on Twitter, John J. Hendricks. John, thank you so much. We will talk to you next week, my friend.
Sounds great, man. Thanks.
BS and Beer, a national institution since, it's a really cool show. Do the dog catcher, baby, do the dog catcher. Dog. Ooh.
I'm not going to bark. I'm not doing it. That's been played out. It's been played out. Oh, sorry. Who let the? Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Hey, I want to read this to you.
Go ahead.
I think this is super interesting.
Go ahead.
From ESPN Stats Info, this is a tweet I saw from Mike Triplett. Only two quarterbacks have lost despite throwing for 350 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Eli Manning and Matt Ryan.
And guess who they lost to?
They both lost to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Man, you want to, like, what else can you do? What else can you do?
I know.
And they did it. I mean, look, that's what I'm saying about, like, all these DB problems. I do think that things need to be fixed, but I do think that you have to take into consideration that the Saints were going up against one of the best offenses in the league on their home turf. So you're going to give up plays. You're going to give up points. And quite frankly, one of the things that got me towards the end of that game, and I should have – I didn't, because it was a thought that I had that I didn't really follow up on. But do you know how many situations we got into in that game where – we lost now. I mean, Onyemata does whatever he did. He did his Mike Tyson hook.
By the way, Coach Payton said that was reviewed, and the league says that shouldn't have been a penalty.
Is that right?
Yep.
I did not hear that.
Yep.
And so
this is 2 weeks in a row.
And that
there's been one call, at least one call.
It was a terrible call because it gave them the ball with first down.
They kicked a field goal.
Yeah.
They literally gave him the ball, and then they went on to score a touchdown. So it was a 4-point penalty.
But Coach said on his interview that the league reviewed it and that it was they told him it shouldn't have been called.
All right. Hey, Tyler, I thought you had some information, some very important statistics that I'm sure will hold up throughout the season.
Well, first off, Tomas, what was your prediction of his
Ridley's 40?
40?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I said he ran a 4-1. No. He ran a 4.5, I thought, somewhere around there.
4.43.
24th.
Okay.
I'm close.
Right down the middle. Right down the middle. Because I'd have said 4.3. Honestly, if I'd had to put money on it, I'd have said 4.3.
So 4.43 is 4.5. That's 4.5.
He was
I'm a half second off.
Yeah, that's it. Half a second off.
He was the 24th fastest guy at the combine out of 336.
He was 44th?
24th.
Or 24th.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, Dave, the stats that you're talking about, you brought up to me kind of ahead of time. To kind of extrapolate, kind of predict based on the past three games what Thomas Breeze and Kamara should do this season if they stayed at the same pace.
Because you expect them to do that, right?
Oh, you expect them to stay at the exact same pace.
Nobody's going to figure it out.
So let's first off start with Kamara. To me, he's the least impressive here. He's predicted for 752 yards.
Rushing?
Rushing.
Yeah.
197 rushing attempts. 160 receptions.
160, that's it, huh?
160 receptions.
Almost there.
And 11 touchdowns.
Okay, okay. Yeah, not very impressive.
By the way, the reception record for a season is 143.
Is it?
So Kamara as a running back would break that
blows record. It out of the water. So, all right. And that's the least impressive stat that Tyler's coming up with.
That's the least impressive stat. All right. So Thomas is on pace for 203 catches. 16 touchdowns.
16 touchdowns.
And 2,123 yards.
Wow. There you go.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Now, neither one of those guys obviously have a extensive history in the NFL, so I can't say, that's more than they've ever had, because it clearly would be. But Breeze, he's on pace for 5,749 yards.
Dang.
The closest he's had to that was the 2011 season, when he had 5,400. He's on pace for 555 completions.
Wow.
You can blow that
he's actually had 10 seasons over 600 completions. So that's not that out of his reach.
Wow, okay.
How many seasons he hit the 5,000 mark?
Yeah.
Yep. And he's got on pace for 688 attempts, passing attempts, which would be the most of his career.
Right.
And then also he's on pace for 43 touchdowns.
43 touchdowns.
And does it say that his arm would have to be replaced at the end of the season?
Yeah,
no,
bionic
actually,
arm.
43 touchdowns. He had 43 touchdowns in 2012 and 46 in 2011. Yeah. But what impressed me is that would be a completion percent of 81%.
There you go.
The entire season.
Doing all that.
Yeah.
Doing all that and throwing the ball.
Yeah. So at 39 years old, Bree says, I'll throw for about 72%, set a record.
It'd be his best season without a doubt.
We're having defensive back problems, so I'll just up it to 82, and that'll take care of that.
And you know, I've been trying to replace the guy for several weeks now, and he won't dip below 80%.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm feeling like, and Taysom Hill, he's right there nipping on Breeze's.
Yeah.
I want to make sure, because I actually listened to a WWL podcast, and I guess there's this guy who calls in trying to convince everybody that that
Anthony.
Is that right? Okay, you heard it too. He's trying to convince everybody that Drew Brees isn't any good and the Saints don't know what they're doing and they need to get him out of there and he can't run the ball.
And Bobby's like, no, no, let him talk. Let him talk. Let him talk. I want to have a conversation with him. Go ahead, bring him on. Go ahead, Anthony. Tell me what you think now, brother.
And so anyway, I am joking. So this is but back to our regularly scheduled programming here. Taysom Hill is nibbling on his footsteps. Had at least off the top of my head three plays, significant plays. Third and two, he has that big run. That was a big play. There was another third and two where again, I guess I got to mention they bring him into the game as a quarterback and they run a wildcat. And the thing I'm thinking about is, man, he's over there choosing whether or not he gives the ball to Kamara, which everybody has to worry about.
Right.
Or if he keeps it himself, and now that's a double-edged sword. Yeah. There was one play, the big run that he had. He faked everybody out because he actually shook the defensive end that had all those sacks, their first I can't remember his name, but he's a linebacker that they turned into a defensive
Beasley.
End. Beasley, that's right. Beasley was standing right there in the hole. He didn't fall for the fake, but the fake to Kamara.
Yeah.
And Taysom Hill just did like this and shook him and ran around him. And so my point is the guy is an absolute playmaker. He ran a jet sweep. And I know that Sean Payton is just every week is just like the more success he has, the more it justifies me playing around with it. You know, he's not just going to let him sit there. There's more stuff coming. And it's going to be more and more exciting because every time he gets the ball, he makes a play. And there was one where we picked up a first down. He only got 2 yards, but the way he got it. I mean, he went and he's using quickness and he used power to power through a tackle.
And reached out and
got a crucial first down.
Yeah, awareness, all of it.
Well, I tell you what, Tomas, I can tell you ready.
The best part, though, is he faked y'all out because y'all thought that was Drew Brees at
we
first.
Did.
Oh, my God. It's Drew.
I jumped off my chair.
No way.
Here's that segment that y'all all love. We got to get to it sooner or later.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, Good, Bad, and Ugly. Yeah. Heath. We wait a long time to get into this.
Yeah.
Give us what
Did you
expect
me to have something prepared?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, no, I didn't expect anything prepared, but I mean, Tyler just kind of went over
I know.
Everything.
You take your pick. Okay, I'll go with Drew Brees.
Right.
Since I kind of said it already. I mean, this dude is throwing the ball now at 80-plus freaking percent. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I know it's ridiculous. You go, well, you know, dude's got 42 career fourth quarter. I'm almost surprised it's not more than that now. You know what I mean? Especially when you look at the guy on the other side has 37.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? Here's the thing, and it bothers me. You know how many times Drew Brees has gone down the field? Let's just use the NFC
Championship
game. Oh, yeah,
he
should
have had another 43.
NFC, it was a divisional playoff game against the 49ers where he does amazing things, two drives in a row against a great defense, and the defense just gives it back up. And so it should be higher because he's done a lot of good things that we watch fall apart immediately after he does something great.
Yeah. But it's not the pad. All of that said, it was the run with the spin move on a touchdown, and I'm giving him the good
that
for
has
it.
To be it. Now, is that – I mean
– Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek, and I think Drew Brees did himself because in reality what happened is he got out there like a deer in the headlights, and two guys hit him, and somehow they spun him. And I think he was probably as surprised to still be standing as all the rest of us.
What I saw, and when I went back and I'm just like, I didn't really get it, what I saw is that those guys were just trying to kill him.
Yeah.
They were trying to take his head off, and when he just stopped, because I didn't tell you, he didn't change direction like exceptionally.
No, it wasn't.
But when he just kind of stopped, I think they thought he was just going to plod on down, and he didn't. Tomas, when we come back in hour number two, we're going to get your good. Don't go anywhere. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast, hour number two, straight ahead.
Well, at least you hadn't started talking already.
Oh, God, give me your time to David, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun.
I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, oh boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh girl, give me your time to David, Heat, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't.